It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
It is a great time of year to be a sports fan. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm Will Hampton, and Super Bowl 52 officially in the books. I think I'm allowed. Am I allowed to say Super Bowl? Do I have to say Big Game 52? It is in the books, and I bet your team won. I know I was up with my kids and my wife sitting watching every second of that game. What a great football game. Even if you're a New England Patriot fan, you've probably realized this week that that was a marvelous Super Bowl, a marvelous night to be with your friends and family and watch a great game that came all the way down to the last play. I mean, I know if you're a Patriot hater, like a lot of people are, you thought, you know what, Brady's still going to pull this off. They're still going to go down the field. They're going to get 8 points, and they're going to tie this game. You sort of felt like they were able to do it, but not this time. The Eagles are champions, and good for Father Tom Barcelona. Remember Father Tom? He's been on this show. He was here for NCYC, and we got a chance to talk to him. He has been the Philadelphia Eagles team chaplain, I think, for like 15 years. So he's been with this organization for a long time. And if you watched after the game, a lot of those Eagles, and I like him even more now than I did going into the game, a lot of faith-filled guys, I mean, from the quarterback to the coach to several of the other players, so many of them you could tell they mentioned their faith, they thanked God, and they just, you could see something about the Eagles organization that is pretty special when it comes to faith. And you know what? I'd like to give credit to Father Tom. I think, you know, he's been their team chaplain for a long time, and you can see something is intertwined in that organization. And so congratulations to Father Tom Barcelona and the Philadelphia Eagles for winning the Super Bowl. Hey, former Colts lineman Ryan Deem, I got a chance to talk to him this week. He's glad the Eagles won, of course, and he was a guy who protected Peyton Manning for so many years when he played for the Colts. He was part of that lineman group. You remember, there was Tarik Glenn and Jeff Saturday, Rick DeMulling, and others. And right out there was Ryan Deem, number 71. Well, now he's helping another great cause. Ryan Deem, I tell you, been a long time since you and I have talked, but this is pretty cool. A lot of people, of course, thinking football right now, and well, another Super Bowl come and go, and the Colts weren't in it. Josh McDaniels on his way to Indianapolis. What's it going to take, you think, for the Colts to get back on that stage?
Well, first of all, you're right. It's been too long. We haven't talked in a while, but I'm happy to be on with you. You know, Josh McDaniels, I think, could be a really, really good fit. I think you've got a younger GM in Chris Ballard and obviously a younger coach with McDaniels. If they can forge the kind of relationship that Bill Polian and Tony Dungy had, mm-hmm. I could see this lasting for quite some time. You know, obviously two very talented guys. As long as they can get along and really build this roster the way that I know Chris Ballard wants to, which was very similar to what Bill Polian did, was kind of build through the draft and bring in those young guys and let them develop within the Colts culture. That could be huge. And if McDaniels can represent the club in a very positive way, which I think he can, and use his football smarts to get Andrew in the offense clicking, I think we've got a really, really good chance of putting a quality product back on the field.
Well, we need another Ryan Deem. We need another Jeff Saturday. We need another Tarik Glenn. Wouldn't be bad if you guys had some eligibility left, right?
I'll give you about two good snaps, and then something's going to pop. But, no, you're right. I mean, it does start up front. You know, Anthony Costanzo's been kind of the long-time stalwart at left tackle, and obviously a great player and a great representative of the club. But, yeah, they could use a few more of him. And I know this year they had some guys who were starting to prove themselves, and injury bug kind of bit everybody, and they had multiple different lineups and rotations, and that's just hard. You can't really produce any consistent play when you've got guys switching in and out of the lineup due to injuries or what have you.
Talking with Ryan Deem, former Colts lineman. You still live in this area. What made you stay close to Indianapolis? Why was it important to sink your roots here and stay?
You know, my wife and I love Indianapolis. We are originally from the Chicago area, and so we're Midwesterners through and through. The weather was not a factor for us. We're used to it. But quite honestly, we just fell in love with the city. We spent pretty much our whole adult lives here in Indy, and we have seen a lot of change and a lot of positive change. I think the downtown has, since I've been here and got here in 2001, it's made incredible changes, positive changes, and just things that we like being a part of. It's a close-knit community, and of course, we love the fact that there's not much traffic compared to Chicago. Yeah. It's affordable. It's easy to get around, but we've got great friends here, and just the people of Indy and Indiana as a whole are just much nicer people than we're used to around the Chicago area.
Well, we're here talking about a big event that you have coming up on February 24th, Saturday at Woodland Bowl in Carmel, an opportunity to strike out cancer. That's what this is. Allie and friends teaming with Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent to put on an event to raise awareness and raise funds. Tell me about it. Give me kind of the background, what it's all about.
Sure. Well, background is Julie and I have been a part of the Allie and Friends group and foundation and events for the past 14 years. We've done a lot of charity golf outings up in the Chicago area. Again, that was up there because of our family roots and whatnot. But again, going back to why we're still here, we love this area and we wanted to kind of get a couple events going here locally. So we benefit pediatric cancer research funds or foundations. So for this particular event, we are paired up with Peyton Manning Children's Hospital, St. Vincent's, and they do phenomenal work in the pediatric cancer research world, so we wanted to support them. It actually was a really natural fit. This is our first event with them, but we were introduced to them through, obviously, I know Peyton, but
yeah, a little bit.
That is not actually how this came together. That was a nice bonus. But Northwestern Mutual stepped up as our title sponsor, and they had an ongoing relationship with Peyton's hospital at St. V's. And so they kind of brought us all together and said, you know, here's what we want to do. We as a company, Northwestern Mutual, loves to support pediatric cancer research. We know that you guys have been doing this for quite some time. We already work with the hospital. What can we do here to kind of get Indy involved and get you guys involved with an event here in town? And so this is what came together. It's called Strike Out Cancer. We're doing a bowling event at Woodland Bowl, February 24th, Saturday night. And you can come as an individual. You can buy a lane. You can sponsor a lane. You can be a big corporate sponsor. Whatever you want to do, we kind of have an option for you. And all the funds raised are going directly to the Pediatric Cancer Research Fund at Peyton Manning Children's Hospital.
Yeah, I noticed it's a pretty wide range of sponsorship. If you're an individual that just wants to bowl, it's $100, and that gets you on a team. And you also get food and drinks night long. And
food, drinks, gift bag. We'll have opportunities for people to enter into a drawing. You will be able to potentially buy a strike if you want to start off your game in the first frame with a strike. You can pay for that and give you a little head start. We'll have a chance to win some prizes if you're the top bowler and top team. And just a lot of fun overall. We're gonna have dinner and drinks and just a good night. Hang out for a few hours and bowl, all for a great cause.
And it's $600 for the team. Other sponsorships go from like $1,000 all the way up to $10,000. If people want to get involved, is there a website? Is there a best place to find out some information?
Sure. Maybe the simplest way would be to get on Twitter and go to my Twitter account at Ryan Diem, RyanDiem, or you can go to the Allie and Friends website, which is allieandfriends.org, AllieandFriends.org. I think I spelled that right.
Yeah, I think you're close. Yeah. And Allie, this is something that you've been involved with and part of for a long time. It's not a good story. A young girl died before she was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. What's your connection and why is this so important to you?
Thankfully, there's no direct connection in my family with pediatric cancer. The connection was actually through my high school football coach. I got invited to the first golf outing as the, quote, celebrity, and showed up. And at the time, Julie and I were kind of looking for a cause to get behind. And once I got around this event and the people that were running it and really understood the cause, and learned about just the challenges that kids face when they are diagnosed with pediatric cancer. And on top of that, the severe underfunding that is out there for that particular cause. There are several other adult cancers that get far, far, far more attention and money towards research than all pediatric cancers combined. I think it's less than 5% of the federal government's funding for cancer research goes to the pediatric sector.
Yeah.
So just one of those things where, you know, you especially once you have kids, seeing sick kids and knowing what they're going through, it's kind of hard to turn away and not help. So that is what we've kind of dedicated the past 14 years to, and I don't see us stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, and the Strike Out Cancer is February 24th at Woodland Bowl, and you said alleyandfriends.org is one way to do it, or your Twitter account. What's that again?
Just my name, at Ryan Diem, R-Y-A-N-D-I-E-M. And you will see posts on there from me that give you direct links to the websites and registration and everything. So we've got tons of information out there online. Again, it benefits Peyton Manning Children's Hospital through St. Vincent's, and all the transactions are being handled by them. So you know your money's going to a good place.
Mm-hmm. And this is, like you said, an opportunity to jump on a cause. Like you said, I read the numbers. I mean, it's like $4.6 billion goes towards cancer research and cancer treatments, but most of that goes to the adult cancers, and this is an underserved, underfunded place where people can have a good night bowling and help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, the numbers are staggering when you really look at what goes towards pediatric cancer research. So this event definitely is kind of highlighting that cause and gonna raise some awareness and some money for it, and should be just a really fun night. How can you not have fun bowling? Maybe having a drink or two if you're into that, and a nice dinner, and just hanging out with some friends.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Thank you, Ryan, and your wife for what you guys do.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Will.
And that's Ryan Diem. Thank you very much. Strike Out Cancer. The event is at Woodland Bowl on February 24th. And again, the website, alleyandfriends.org. You could also put in a backslash there, alleyandfriends.org/strikeout, and get yourself signed up. Last I talked with Ryan, there's still, you know, I had a couple spots left, so you may, but there are neat opportunities to go and just be part of this thing. Of course, it's part of the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital and Alley and Friends Strike Out Cancer. Well, we're going to take a break. We're really just getting started, but Todd Licklider is he's teed up and ready to go next as we kind of catch up with Coach and talk basketball. Catholic Sports Weekly continues right after this.
Ever have that time when you're hungry for some music that will boost your faith and refresh your soul? Catholic Radio Indy has just what you're looking for. Podcasts of Catholic Jukebox Indiana are available 24/7 just by going to catholicradioindy.org. You'll hear today's music filled with a Catholic message and mixed with a bit of food for thought. That's Catholic Jukebox Indiana Podcasts at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, and it's time for our biweekly check on basketball with our own Todd Licklider, Division I Coach of the Year and former Butler coach, former Marion coach, former Iowa coach. Coach, you do you like all these former coach stuff that I when I introduce you?
Don't forget Park Tudor and Danville.
That is true, yeah.
Started out the high school ranks. So, yeah, I suppose it is it's nice to reflect. Yeah. And now, and you know this, I think I probably said this before you teach, your success is gauged on your growth.
Yeah.
After you teach, it's the growth of others, the people that you've influenced. And so now what you do is you follow guys that you've had the opportunity to hopefully impact in a positive way. Thomas Jackson, who was our point guard at Butler, my first year, he was a senior point guard. He called the other day, and he's an assistant coach for Erie in the G League.
Oh, wow.
And it was so much fun to talk to him about his perspective and how much he's enjoying this part of it. And he said to me, it's the second best thing to playing. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. We're talking with Todd Lickletter, our basketball analyst here on Catholic Sports Weekly, now a scout for the Boston Celtics in the NBA. And you said you get a former player that's calling you. Do you get a lot of that, a lot of guys calling you and just kind of do they want you to dissect something, or are they just calling just to catch up, or how's that work?
Most of the time, if they're struggling, they call me because they know I've struggled. They say, hey, how do you know? I've got one of my former assistants is the head coach at Minnesota State Moorhead, Division II. He was National Coach of the Year, Chad Walthall. And this year he decided to redshirt four freshmen that could impact the success, but he's doing it for the future. And we just talked about how when you're building a program, sometimes you've got to take a step back, fight hard for a year to really, really be good later on. You know, and he's earned the right to do that. He's got a great program there. And they're struggling a little bit this year, more than probably a little bit, and not something that he's accustomed to, but he knows that the future is very bright. And I was telling him one time I put together the best team I think that staff and I had ever put together, and I had an administrator tell me that we weren't talented enough. And I thought we were talented, and I thought, gosh, you know, why would this person think that they could evaluate better than we did? But that's sort of what you're up against. Well, he's got a great situation because he's got the equity built up. They know that he's doing the right things. His AD's in his corner. But that doesn't change the fact that you're trying to win, and, you know, you're just not set up to do that just yet. But they'll be terrific. They'll probably contend for a national championship in the next couple of years.
Well, you're so different than most people because of your background, because of your love and your passion, and really, I guess it comes down to just your interest in understanding the game of basketball differently than just a fan does. And now in your role with the Celtics, you and I have talked about this before, but I've always think it's intriguing when you go watch a game. Like you're probably, if you maybe give me a couple places where you're going, maybe the next few days, and but you're looking at a specific player or two, but you're looking for different things. You're not just watching a basketball game, right?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when you're evaluating individually, it's different than when you're recruiting. In my opinion, when I was recruiting, I was looking at piecing teams together and how one person compliments another. And maybe, you know, I've said this before, Gordon Haywood came out of high school not highly rated. And maybe the bigger schools would have gotten criticized by their fan base, but Brad saw in him the specialness and how he could, how he was going to develop and what he had. Brad really had a great vision for him. And, I mean, obviously the rest is history. He's an NBA All-Star. But so you're looking at it that way as a recruiter. As a scout, it's more just individual. What are their tools? What do they bring to the table? And there are things that I like about players that might be a little bit different. One of the things that I really like is a player with vision. Not a guy who has to make a spectacular play, a guy who makes probably what we consider kind of a simple play, but the right play, he's comfortable in that. You can just see those guys, and guys who see teammates and pass to teammates at the right time in the right position. So I enjoy that aspect of it. So we go and we watch, and a lot of times, you know who's the most sought after or the highest rated guy, but sometimes you see somebody on the team that next to him that maybe isn't getting all the accolades, but you really like.
Todd Lickletter, our basketball analyst here in Catholic Sports Weekly. And Coach, I remember several years ago when the Pacers were going through the whole Ron Artest and the battle up in the stands in Detroit and all that. And one of the things he said, Donnie Walsh said, to explain, you know, why did you stick with Ron Artest? Why did you do this? Why, you know, how did this happen? And he said, well, sometimes you just fall in love with talent. And I remember Donnie saying that, and it kind of relates a little bit what you're talking about when you're scouting or, you're looking at talent, but you're also, and a lot of what we talk about on this show is character and what kind of teammate is he and what kind of maybe even what kind of family atmosphere he comes from and what his faith life might be. Those kind of things are all part of the evaluation, aren't they?
I think it's part of talent. And that does not mean that, you know, you guys, it's an emotional game. That you wouldn't want somebody without passion, without competitiveness, without, and sometimes things happen that, you know, in games, and I'm not excusing them, but mm-hmm. where your emotions actually get the better part of it. I've seen, you know, kids that are fairly controlled in life, the competition just gets the best of them sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, so you can't, I don't think you can judge anybody on one situation or, you know, one bad experience or whatever. It just can happen. And so you're not looking for the perfect guy. That's what I said. None of us are angels. We're all praying for forgiveness, I think. And, mm-hmm. and also we're not saying, hey, you've got to be perfect character. But what you do like, what I like, is guys who seem that their teammates enjoy playing with them. They enjoy their teammate. You just see this camaraderie, or where a team is better on the floor because of the chemistry. That's the sort of thing I look for and that I enjoy. I don't make final decisions, obviously, with the Celtics. I just give observations. That's mm-hmm. what I'm so. But those are some of the things. And if you're familiar with Pat Williams,
yep.
He was with the Orlando Magic yep. for years and wrote The Magic of Teamwork. He's written a number of books, but you know, he had some great quotes in there. And one of the quotes was, never let big talent trick you into excusing bad character.
Okay.
Well,
that's good.
You know, that's well said, but I don't know that we should be totally judgmental of someone either in saying one instance or this, you know, determines that they have bad character. But you're just trying to find that right guy that fits well.
Mm-hmm.
So
NBA is getting close to the All-Star break, getting close to what they call the midseason, even though it's technically numerically past midseason. What do you think about the way the league is going? And it looks like, of course, Golden State looks really good. Houston really looks good. Celtics, of course, your team's right there, everybody looking good. And I know you don't comment a lot of times on individual players, but the move that the Pistons make to get Blake Griffin, that's going to make them a little bit of a factor in the East now too, isn't it? Seems like it will.
Well, it'll be interesting, you know, and people, that's part of it, trying to build and deciding which talent fits best for what you want. You know, and they had to give up some things.
Yep.
You know, you don't just get a Blake Griffin without giving up good players. And you just, I guess, you know, and that's all the personnel side, which I've been a part of now for going on 3 years, but not something that I'm terribly comfortable with still, because I'm more inclined to the strategic part and the practice and the coaching and that sort of thing. But in the NBA, it's interesting in that I'm sure coaches have say in personnel.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, your general managers, your personnel people are saying, okay, here's your team, coach them. And totally different than college.
Yeah.
And I think that's really an interesting dynamic, and one that I think Brad and Danny Ainge are on the same page.
Yeah,
and they've made some great moves, and Brad's made some great moves in coaching them. When you look at the players that he's coached and how well they played for him, it's kind of obvious that he understands personnel and really is an advantage to players.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Only a little over a minute left, and this time of year for college basketball, what are some secrets to get? It's almost like, you know, you're crunching, you're trying to win conference titles maybe, but you're about a month away from tournament basketball. How tough is this time of year just to kind of maintain or, you know, keep people healthy and those kind of things that you have to worry about now with about a month before March Madness?
That's a great question, Will. I mean, that is, and I think freshness is the key. Being really efficient. We believed in efficiency. you know, concentrating just on what you need to do, but not losing focus, not thinking that you're backing off, but allowing those guys to have to catch their breath a little bit. And one of the things you and I have talked about is in the college game, every game is so vital. Yeah. And now it's not changing, that's for sure. And people are starting to look at, can we get an automatic bid? Can we get in there? Or can we get a at-large bid? Can we get in the tournament? And what do we need to do? And you don't really want to share that with your team. You just want to have it in your mind. And then what you want to do is give your team two or three areas, no more than that, to sort of refine and concentrate on and try to keep them very fresh. Barry Collier used to say, better fresh, I'd rather have them fresher than smarter. And some, because you've already laid the groundwork,
yeah.
You've already done the things that you need to do, and now you just want to keep them really, really fresh, quick practices, and good focus.
All right. Well, Coach, thank you very much. Always great visiting with you, and we'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Sounds great, Will.
All right.
Stay warm.
You too. That's Todd Licklider, our basketball analyst. We're taking a break. We're back after this timeout.
It seems like nothing in life is simple. Remember when we set up Audio Now? You could simply dial a phone number and hear Catholic Radio Indy loud and clear wherever you were, right on your cell phone. Well, you can still do that, and the primary phone number is still the same, 641-552-5881. And even though we get around 2,000 calls every month, you never get a busy signal when you call. But because of volume and other issues, sometimes when you call, you get a message giving you a different phone number. If you get that message, write down the new phone number, or simply push 1 on your phone and we'll text you the new number. Then begin using that new number each time you call. It'll work best for your cell phone and for your cell phone carrier. Yeah, I know, that's a little bit of a hassle, but it's worth it. Clear reception of Catholic Radio Indy wherever you are. Doesn't use any data, doesn't tie up your phone, and is free if you have unlimited minutes. Remember the number, 641-552-5881.
Catholic Radio Indy. There's lives being touched every single day by it.
And that just about wraps it up here this week for Catholic Sports Weekly. Thank you so much for listening. Will at CatholicRadioIndy.org is a great way to contact. Maybe you've got an idea, or maybe you want to help us underwrite this show. Will with one L at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Again, thanks to Todd Licklider. Thanks to Ryan Deem. And if you want to get into Strikeout for Cancer bowling event, alleyandfriends.org/strikeout. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.